In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is ascended from earth to heaven. In his birth, our Lord brought the divine down into our world. He brought divinity down to us, down into the mud, as it were. When he became a human being, he joined the divinity to the humanity by coming down to us. In the ascension, our Lord raises us up. He takes his human nature and raises us up to heaven. So it's the opposite movement. In becoming man, he comes down to us. In ascending into heaven, he raises us up. And in this, we see this feast as something that surpasses, in a sense, even the resurrection. Because in the resurrection, our Lord raises us up from the nether world, as it were, from Hades up to this earth. But then in the ascension, he raises us up into the kingdom, all the way up. And we hear in the hymns of the church about how the angels bow down in worship before the divine human Christ. They fall down in worship not only before his divinity, but before our humanity, because Christ in the flesh, in the human flesh, is seated at the right hand of the Father, as our faith proclaims, and the angels stand in awe and bow down in worship before that divine human Christ in the flesh. This is a great mystery, and it's a source of great hope for us. And it's a great source of conviction as well. A call to rise up, to rise above our baseness, not to act like slaves, but rather like children of God, which is what God desires, which is what Christ came into the world to make. To make children, adopted children of the Father. We are to join Christ there, where he is, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's our destiny. But for that, we must ascend. It requires that we, like Christ, ascend. According to the Fathers, according, for example, to St. Gregory Palamas, Christ rose from the dead so that we might rise, and he ascended so that we might ascend. First there's the resurrection, then there's the ascension for Christ and for us. And St. Gregory points to the passage in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, which says, "We shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And he describes this as our ascension. He understands this, of course, very differently from the teachers of the so-called rapture. Just as Christ first rose again, it was the resurrected body, his resurrected body that ascended, so it will be our resurrected body that will ascend to meet the Lord. But of course, that depends on our will. That depends on whether we want that. Because God will not force us or coerce us, because he doesn't do that. It depends, in other words, on our repentance, our metanoia, our changing our minds and our hearts, our turning away from sin and towards God. St. Gregory Palamas says, "Let us take up our cross and follow him, having crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, that we may be glorified together with him and rise with him, and after our resurrection be taken up to him as he was taken up today by the Father," or to the Father, rather. So if we are to experience a glorious resurrection, we must live a resurrected life now, hating evil and loving God's will. And if we are to ascend with the Lord and be with him at the right hand of the Father, then we have to live a life of ascension now, looking up, not down, looking towards heavenly things, not towards the corrupt things of this earth. Paradoxically, the way that we keep our eyes focused upwards, focused on the Lord, looking up like the disciples after the Lord as he's taking up and they're just standing there staring, and the angels come and they say, "What are you doing standing there and staring up?" If we are to remain like that, because indeed we're called to do that, to keep our eyes steadfastly watching the Lord, looking to him as the leader, the author and finisher of the race, the one we must continually follow. If we're to do that, paradoxically, to keep our eyes up, we must be constantly bowing down in humility, like the publican, bowing low before God, Almighty God, in true worship, and bowing in humility before one another. For he who humbles himself will be exalted, will be caused to ascend. Because this means, when we bow down before one another, and most of all before God, first and foremost, this means preferring God's will to our own, and preferring love for others over self-love, sinful self-love. And this is the path of God's children. How are the disciples described after the Lord ascends and after the angel comes and kind of wakes them up out of their stupor and their state of shock and confusion? It says this at the end of St. Luke's Gospel: "And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God." They worshipped him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The life of preparation, which we're called to, preparation for resurrection and ascension, is a life of joyful anticipation. It's like when you're a kid and you're waiting for Christmas and you just can't wait. You're so excited and you just wish the night would come and it would pass and hurry up so you could come and find the presents under the Christmas tree and open them. It's joyful anticipation of what's to come. And this is the Christian life. And this is why we live from feast to feast, always anticipating the next one, getting ready for it. And throughout our week, we're getting ready for the next Sunday, the day of the Lord's resurrection, because it's a life of joyful anticipation. And if we are joyfully anticipating those realities of resurrection and of ascension, we will not be enticed by this world and its delusive pleasures that delude, that confuse, that distract, that lead us astray. Our hearts and minds, our bodies and souls will be directed towards Christ, worshiping him, waiting in Jerusalem, as it says about the disciples, for the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? This is what we're called to as well. Waiting in Jerusalem, that means waiting in our hearts, going deep down within our hearts and making them ready for the coming of the Holy Spirit, continually in the temple, both in this temple, where we come to worship God as a community, and in the temple of our heart, blessing God. That is, we're to be continually oriented towards the life of the church, the sacramental life, the life in Christ. And this is a noble life. It's a life of nobility, not the life of a slave, the life of a child of God. In one of the pre-communion prayers, it says, when Christ seated our flesh at the right hand of the Father, he ennobled it. He made our flesh noble. He gave us nobility. And so we ask that by partaking of the holy mysteries in that prayer, by partaking of the holy mysteries, the Lord's precious body and blood, we may be seated with him at the right hand of the Father. We're called by him to be noble, not to act like slaves, no longer even to act like hired servants. Remember the prodigal son who comes back to the father and says, "Make me as one of your servants." But that's not what the father wants. He doesn't allow that because he wants to give us something better. We're called to be sons and daughters. And sons and daughters act according to the will of their father and loving cooperation with him. This is what we're called to. We do that by joining our lives to his, which is why we receive communion. That's the whole meaning. That by partaking of our Lord's precious body and blood, he might dwell in us, abide, it says in Scripture, abide in us, and we might abide in him. Our fragmented, broken, sad life that's lacking in life, that's fallen away from life, is joined to his life, which is life in abundance, which is eternal life, which is infinite life. Of course, we have enemies who want to block this, who want to stop it. They want to stop us from ascending. They used to block the way completely. The fathers talk about this. You know, before Christ descended into Hades and raised up the dead and himself resurrected and himself made a pathway, before that, the demons stopped everyone from ascending. It wasn't possible before Christ made a path for us. He made a way through. He opened up a path of ascent to heaven. But the demons still try to stop souls on their way to the Lord by enticing them. You know, those who are departed, they try to stop from ascending. And they try to do the same to us now. But as it says in the Kentakion for this feast, I am with you and no one can be against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if we're abiding in his power, then there's no power anywhere that can overcome his power and therefore overcome us, as long as we abide in him. So we don't have to be afraid of the enemies. We don't have to be cowering like slaves. We can be brave like children, noble children of the king. We can resist their attacks, and we know they won't last forever. We remember the coming victory, and we are strengthened for the battle. So we keep giving our hearts to Christ, keep trusting him, keep looking upwards. And as we do so, we're being prepared for the resurrection. We're being prepared for our ascension to heaven. We're following him on the path he made for us today. May he always enable us to follow him on that path. Amen. Christ is ascended.